MK Podcast.
Hey, Corey.
Hey, yeah, hi. Hey. What you said that like you like you're sneaking up on me.
Hey, Corey.
Yeah. Hey, Neil.
It is time for us to revisit our classic episode, Threshold Throwdown, because we got a message from our man in Outworld, everybody's favorite Mortal Kombat character, Paul.
Damn, that's a certified classic already.
Certified. I think it's absolutely. We got we got ridiculous numbers on that. I don't want to share them here, but watch out, office ladies.
God, one day they'll finally ignore our. Never mind. I couldn't think of the word I wanted to say.
It's all good. We should also tell the listeners we're going to try to one take this thing and do no editing. So
are we good? Glad that it's the one where I fuck up as much as possible right away.
We'll see how that goes. All right, but okay. So let's dip back into our Threshold Throwdown thing. We gotta play the jingle though, don't we?
The jingle.
Gotta play the Threshold Throwdown drop.
Right.
Threshold Throwdown.
It's that deep lore, baby.
I forgot what that sounded like.
All right. So Paul had some issues with some of our picks on the Threshold Throwdown.
Cool. He's wrong, but please continue.
I'm going to play this clip from Paul. You're going to hear him say that I asked for this. Now, two things. First of all, we're interested in hearing from everybody. We got blog posts out there. We want to hear everybody's takes on the Threshold Throwdown. Second thing, I did not ask. Here's what actually happened. I was streaming Mortal Kombat Armageddon Conquest mode on Twitch, and on Twitch in the chat, Paul called me out for some of our picks. He told me he had problems with things. So I said, fine, here's the list. Do better.
Okay, so you did ask for it. You did. I hate sure. to, you know, not side with the pod here, but that's asking for it.
I don't think I asked for it so much as I guess it's kind of a question, but it wasn't like a real.
You encouraged whatever. It.
Well, I encourage it from everybody, but.
And then you explicitly told Paul to try and do better.
Which he might have done, actually. You want to hear what Paul has to say?
I'd love to.
Paul put together a doozy for this.
How many air horns does it have?
Zero air horns. I could add some in. Hold on. All right, I'm ready to air horn when it's time. Okay.
Oh, boy.
Here's Paul's picks for the Threshold Throwdown.
You say goodbye, I say
hello.
And welcome to the annual 2021 Threshold Throwdown Awards. Neil, you asked me to do this. Sorry. I'm going to try to make this quick. I have no plan. Best entry. Conquest, you think, would be my answer. I'm actually going to go MK95. A couple of reasons.
Fair.
MK95 is the starting point. Like, there would be no Conquest without it, which is a strange thing to think about. All of the sort of visual decisions that they make, the treatment, like what everything looks like, the color, it's all trying to emulate that perfection achieved in the MK95 film. Also, they cast Kerry Tagawa as Shang Tsung, so it's unassailable as far as I'm concerned.
That's a fair point.
Worst entry? Probably Defenders of the Realm. You could definitely make an argument for Annihilation, but even outside of the sort of this is funny to watch how bad it is way to consume Annihilation, I think Defenders of the Realm just is kind of like the most disappointing. The prospect of a 90s cartoon of Mortal Kombat, pretty damn cool. Defenders of the Realm, not so cool, sadly. Best original character, oh boy. I'm looking at the options here. Artlene, Vorpax, Zero, Tarja, Hideyoshi, Silk Manning, Crimmins, Paul. I mean, Paul should win by default. Amigus. I'm probably going to go for Vorpax because...
Let's go!
Badass in pretty much every way.
It's the correct answer, it really is.
Okay, I need to address something here. Best friend of Katana's dad. We've got Duran, no. Ramath, Keeper of the Crystal Realm. Amazing name. Asgarth, the Birdman, probably the rightful winner. But I think Ramath needs to be sort of... acknowledged in some way. So what you do is you give him naming rights of the actual award. So, you know, like you would have, like, say, for example, the Silk Manning Award for blah, blah, blah. I think you rename this award. And so officially it would be Ramath, Keeper of the Crystal Realm presents the Best Friend of Katana's Dad Award winner for 2021, Asgarth the Birdman. Best Katana Rival is Kelly. Best Quan Chi, no contest. It's Conquest. Best Quan Chi henchperson. I'm going to say the snake stuff. The Russian nesting doll of snakes. I'm down for it. Best Cage. Johnny Cage 95 narrowly edges out Jimmy Cage. Just for the shock value of Jimmy Cage. He got him up high. Best Reptile person. The reptile that Kriya had a romantic dinner with is definitely up there. But I'm just going to be unprofessional and type here because...
We do it all the time. It's fine.
If we search the old YouTube...
Better shows than ours type.
Regarding Conquest that I was surprised by. So if you search Mortal Kombat Conquest, Reptile versus Reptilian Council member, that fight for some reason has like 1.7 million views on YouTube.
Fuck off.
So... I'm going to say new entry, Reptilian Council member is the best reptile person.
I don't know.
Fair.
Hottest fashion. This is where I think a deep disservice has been done.
This is the controversy.
Shang Tsung's MK95 jacket is nowhere to be seen. And I can't abide this. That's a walk-in winner on my list. And look, best fatality, there's no going past Elder Gods crushing Black Dragon Ninja in the Big Machine. But I will make one shout out, right? The one thing that I can remember from my initial viewing of Mortal Kombat Annihilation when I was a young child seeing it at the cinema as part of my birthday with some friends, in that opening scene, whether I was excited or just wasn't paying attention, I did not pick up initially that Johnny Cage had been recast. I hadn't twigged that that was the case. Obviously, Sonya had been recast and Raiden. And I think maybe I was fixated on that. But I did not pick up that Johnny Cage had been recast. So when Shao Kahn snapped that dude's neck, I was like, holy shit. And look, not an option on this list. But Liu Kang stepping on Lizard Reptile in MK95 and crushing him into bugs... And just the POV shot of his foot mushing the camera and him going, and just terrible bug sounds happening. That's, you know, that's, okay, that's number two with a bullet under Elder Gods crushing Black Dragon Ninja in the Big Machine.
Well, there you have it. Those are Paul's picks for the Threshold Throwdown. Paul went off the ballot several times, and I think he's disqualified for that alone.
I was going to say I respect him for that, but okay, come down on different sides of this particular
we
instance.
Have. I do think we need to address the hottest fashion category, because Shang Tsung's leather jacket being left off that list is a big oversight.
The Academy got it wrong.
But
that's not our fault, but the Academy got it wrong.
Let's just be honest here. If that was on the list, there would have been no contest, right? Like, that would be the clear winner.
You made it fair for everybody else. We nerfed the categories.
Yeah. We had to.
By we,
honestly,
I mean the Academy, obviously.
I look over this list, we kind of handicapped Mortal Kombat 95 all the way through. But a little bit of behind the scenes info on this category in particular of hottest fashion. Did not start out as hottest fashion. Started out as something closer to like hottest it was hottest person to begin with. And if you look at the list, hottest person, got Ciro. We had Ciro in his church clothes. We changed that live to sleeveless Ciro. Kassar in Ciro's church clothes. Jola's black dragon look. Cabral's face tattoo. It was Cabral with his face tattoo. The Catwoman, Omegis in her net, Sindel's whole vibe, the tuxedo guy, and then we just landed on just Robin Show, but it was Robin Show in his tank top. I think you can see clearly where our heads were at. Sorry, Corey's absolved of all of this, where my head was at in making this. This category was the hardest one to put together.
And Paolo Montalban was left out because otherwise, you know, running away with it.
Friend of the show, Paolo Montalban. We didn't want to make him feel weird.
Absolutely.
But yeah, clear oversight on our part for leaving Shang Tsung and Kerry Tagawa off this list pretty much as a whole, except for putting his fatality in here. We're going to have to do better next time. We're going to have to reevaluate.
There will be more lists. Let's just get that out of the way.
There will be more Threshold Throwdowns. They may not be limited to just the Threshold universe. We may have to take like a wider, cast a wider net over all of the shit that we've watched.
Right.
But, yeah.
Someday when we do those episodes that we keep saying we'll do about bonus things, there will be like a bonus throwdown.
Hell yeah. We're going to do those. We're absolutely going to do those, Corey. You know that, right?
Yeah.
I've already got a schedule put together.
Do you actually?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, it's like half. It's like half there. Also, I do take issue with the reptile councilman being considered his best reptile because he got killed by the reptile who had the romantic dinner with Kriya. So he's by default not one of the best. Same way Anka got knocked out.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Otherwise, good picks, Paul. Thanks for calling me out on Twitch. What are we doing here today, Corey?
Oh, good question. If I understand it correctly, we're going to set up the short-term future of what we're going to be getting to. We're going to talk about Mortal Kombat Legacy setup, and yeah, we are going to talk about a short film from, oh gosh, I didn't check what year it came out, 2011, am I right?
Yeah, pretty close.
Okay, sure. Called Mortal Kombat Rebirth, which essentially got whoever made Legacy, Neil's going to tell me, that job.
Yeah, Mortal Kombat Rebirth. We're going to talk about Mortal Kombat Rebirth from 2010.
Close enough.
Yeah, directed by, this is an 8-minute short directed by Kevin Tancharoen, which was basically his pitch on how to like reboot the Mortal Kombat franchise for live action movies. It was a gritty reimagining, a gritty quote unquote realistic reimagining of Mortal Kombat.
What if Mortal Kombat was real? But not in the way that magic is now real, but in the way that all the stuff that was magic just is real shit now.
Were you not a fan of this?
No.
No.
Okay. No.
Do you want
to? I didn't mean to get to it that fast. I didn't think I sounded that derisive of it.
I can just probably hear it in your voice now after so many episodes of Defenders of the Realm. I can just sense the shift.
I wasn't crazy about it. There are things I like about it,
mm-hmm.
but I just think conceptually that is such a boring idea to me. Like, and you know, I get why some people like that. So this was fascinating to me. I'm actually going to start by quoting a YouTube comment.
Sure, go for it.
This is from Adam Turner on YouTube. This was the Mortal Kombat movie I wanted so badly. I really hoped this would lead to a full movie. This concept to me is perfect as it brings Mortal Kombat into the real world and makes it gritty and very dark. The fight scene between Cage and Baraka is still better than anything we've seen in the previous two movies and the new release. By that, he means 2021. I guess, sure. Sadly, this remains as a what could have been, although I also so glad we have this to watch and enjoy. Everything he said, and a lot of the comments say about why it's cool, is the reason I don't like it.
That's fair. You know, let's
it's not well, or I almost said very much the wrong thing. It's not poorly made or anything.
No.
But tonally and in terms of like where its interests are,
yeah,
I'm just not there.
Yeah, it's an odd beast. Do you want to do a Neil Nook or a Corey Corner so we can just kind of talk about it in a little bit more depth?
I'll do the one with my name in it.
Welcome to the Corey Corner.
Corey Corner now. That's where we are. So this takes place in the year 2010. in the far off distant future of 2010. In a place called Deacon City, which I'm pretty sure is made up. And
yeah, what? I'm pretty sure it's made up.
And Governor Muldoon says that he has faith in Captain Jackson Briggs and the violent crimes unit of the Deacon City Police Department to stop this wave of violent crime that the police can't seem to get a handle on. And there's like chill wave dubstep music in the background and everything's dark. And Jax's door says Jackson Briggs, but the O and the N fell off, so it says Jax, but it's spelled J-A-C-K-S, which is the funniest thing in the world.
That's very good.
our Jax goes into an interrogation room, and he's talking to somebody. We don't know who. Their face is enshrouded in shadow the entire time until the end, and he is setting up, like, violent murderers that exist in this city that need to be stopped, and he's rattling off some names. So first we have set up for Reptile. I'm not going to play as coy with it. It is Reptile. Sorry, I got them in the right order. Reptile is not a lizard man.
No, he's not.
He is a man with some unfortunate, somewhat debilitating medical conditions, and also a cannibalistic habit where he murders people and rips their heads off and then eats them later.
So glad I get to do this.
Sounds like this
movie
has
a reptile dysfunction.
There it is. Bam, 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 bam. Thank you. Check, please. So this whole time we have our Jax just chucking, like, police dossiers across the table, like, here's a murderer, here's a murderer, here's a murderer. And next up we have Baraka, who is not a monster warrior from another dimension.
What's his name, Corey?
I didn't write it down.
It's Dr. Alan Zane.
I didn't write it down, but that's really funny. So we have Dr. Alan Zane, aka Baraka. He is a failed plastic surgeon, and he made a mistake one time doing a plastic surgery, and then I guess liked it and made 24 more of them. And he has all kinds of piercings and injections, and perhaps most importantly, inserted two big retractable blades into his forearms and kills people now. Sure, man. Whatever.
Yeah.
To quote the short directly, couldn't take being a failed doctor, so he went psychotic. Also, I forgot to say about Reptile, quote, his known fatalities are in the double digits.
Holy shit, that's a lot of fatalities.
And then Jax is like, also, you remember Johnny Cage? Yeah, that's right. The old action hero. Well, he needed money, so he was an undercover cop, and we don't know what happened to him. And then we see a fight where Baraka and Johnny Cage fight, and Johnny Cage gets his head sliced off of his body at the end of that, so he's out. And the big sell here we discover is that this is, they're talking to Hanzo Hisashi himself, the most prolific assassin of, like, the Shihai Ryu gang in Japan. And they want him. They'll, like, we'll give you your freedom if you do us a favor. There's this guy, Shang Tsung. We think he's behind all of these killers. By behind, to be honest, don't really know what they mean. Do they mean funding? Yeah. That would be weird. Why would he want that? Also, because they're real people now, and they're being framed as, like, criminals and serial killers, don't really know why you'd need somebody behind them. It doesn't really make any sense, but whatever. And so Shang Tsung is there. And they're like, he's organizing an underground deathmatch tournament featuring serial killers, assassins, and, like, the world's top fighters, and all the other maniacs who have turned this city into a killing field. That's a quote. And they're like, Scorpion, we want you to go and kill everybody, please. And Scorpion's like, I can get out of here whenever I want. And he proves that by having the handcuffs off now. He's like, why should I give a shit about what you're offering me? And then Sonya Blade enters Sonya Blade, stage left, and she's like, what if I threw another dossier at you? And this time, it's about Sub-Zero. And they're like, what? I killed that guy. And it's like, no, you killed his brother. Oops. And then he's like, okay, I'll do it. Also, my name is Scorpion. And that's it.
That's it.
I hope I didn't sound mean during that. It's just very silly.
I mean, it's 8 minutes long. There's not a lot to it, honestly. Like, there's a lot of fun stuff to look at, a lot of disturbing, gross, uncomfortable stuff.
Interesting thing for you to say that.
Also gross stuff. Don't get me wrong.
No, but
uncomfortable,
like,
gross things.
Okay, no, I'll let you do the Neil Nook. Hold on. Let's, you know,
okay, you want to just, we'll just jump into the Neil Nook.
Let's
right
do it.
Now.
Let's do it.
Welcome to the Neil Nook.
It's Gucci.
So, Mortal Kombat Rebirth was directed by Kevin Tancharoen. This guy directed the 2009 remake of Fame. He also directed episodes of The Pussycat Dolls Present The Search for the Next Pussycat.
Hold on, no way.
That was a reality show.
Stop.
Where
on the They Made Another One we just made, we talked about the Pussycat Dolls. You can't be serious.
I'm 100% serious.
Oh my god. For the record, we talked about that because the guy who shot the movie that I'll plug later shot the When I Grow Up Pussycat Dolls music video.
Hell yeah. He's also directed like stuff for Britney Spears and Glee. I think he did the Glee 3D concert movie that got released.
Finally, I can see insert name of Glee cast member in 3D.
He's also directed episodes of like Supergirl, The Flash, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Arrow, a lot of the kind of superhero television series going on right now. And this was his sort of brainchild. This was written by Oren Uziel. He's got a story credit on Mortal Kombat 21.
So he's the Arcana guy.
He might be the Arcana guy. I'm not sure. It's just a story credit. It doesn't have the screenplay credit or anything like that.
But, right.
He also wrote The Cloverfield Paradox.
Okay.
Escape Room Tournament of Champions. That's one for They Made Another One.
It trust me, it's on the list. We almost did it like last week.
And the upcoming Detective Pikachu 2.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So he's getting tons of work. This worked out well for him.
Yeah, he's doing stuff. He's doing stuff that people seem to like. That's cool, too. The fight choreography for this was done by Larnell Stovall, who also did fight choreography and stunts in, like, Kickboxer Vengeance, Titans, another live-action superhero show.
Oh, I've seen that. My roommate was watching that, and it's like one of my favorite things to just watch and be baffled by.
Titans is honestly, I'm way behind. I don't think I even finished season two, but Titans is pretty good.
Finally, they let Robin say fuck.
It's about time, right? He also did fight choreography and stunts for Altered Carbon. And here's another one for They Made Another One, Roadhouse 2, Last Call.
You're telling me they made a Roadhouse sequel in 2006?
Yes, they did.
Wow. Truly, what a time to be alive.
Yeah, that was the age of direct-to-DVD sequels, man. That's when we got some of the Starship Troopers sequels, the Lost Boys sequels, other ones, presumably. The Crow sequels had already been
out. They're making more Lost Boys sequels again. They're doing it all over again.
Thank God. Lost Boys podcast next.
Great. Finally.
Let's get into the cast. We've got Michael Jai White as Jackson Briggs. I know him best as Spawn from the live-action Spawn movie.
I genuinely know him best as Black Dynamite. That movie is so good. Oh my god.
He's Gamble in The Dark Knight. He's one of the gangsters trying to like work with / stop the Joker or whatever. I don't remember. He's also in this movie called Triple Threat, which is a martial arts movie I watched some time ago. Stars Tony Jaa, Tiger Chen, and Iko Uwais, and some guy named Scott Adkins, who people love and want to play Johnny Cage in the new movie.
Wow, I can't believe you just said some guy named Scott Adkins. The disrespect.
Well, when Tony Jaa is in the movie, like that's where my focus is going to go. I'm sorry.
I'm an Iko Uwais man myself. We actually just talked about him on They Made Another One, too.
Holy shit, man. Jeri Ryan is here as Sonya Blade. Most people probably know her as 7 of 9 from Star Trek Voyager and other Star Trek stuff.
That's who that was.
That's who that was.
I recognized that person and I didn't know why.
I know her best as newscaster Valerie Sharp from Dracula 2000.
Oh my god. This is the most Neil shit.
Let's see. We've got Ian Anthony Dale as Hanzo Hisashi. He's on The Walking Dead. He's been in Hawaii 5-0. Corey, you may recognize him as Kazuya Mishima from the live-action Tekken movie.
How could I forget?
Matt Mullins is here as Johnny Cage. He was in Kamen Rider Dragon Knight. He did stunts in Godzilla vs. Kong. He was the stunt coordinator for Marvel's Runaways and did stunts in The Suicide Squad, amongst other things.
What is this? Some kind of Mortal Kombat rebirth?
Latif Crowder as Dr. Alan Zane, a.k.a. Baraka. Corey, you may recognize him as Eddie Gordo in the Tekken live-action movie.
How could I forget?
He was also the capoeira fighter in Tony Jaa's Tom Yum Goong, released over here as The Protector. He's done stunts in The Mandalorian, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Sucker Punch, Army of the Dead, Batman vs. Superman. He works a lot with Zack Snyder. Yeah, he's Dr. Alan Zane, everybody's favorite Mortal Kombat character.
God, I can't wait to run that joke into the ground.
We've got Richard Dorton as Reptile. I think his first role was gay man number one in an episode of Dawson's Creek.
Yikes, that credit.
He's a motion capture guy. He did motion capture stunts for like Uncharted. He did just a ton of video games. He's a mocap dude. Like, his picture on IMDb is him in a mocap suit. It's very cool.
Everybody's favorite Mortal Kombat character.
This blew my fucking mind, dude.
Mocap.
He did King Ghidorah's performance capture for Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
Why does that blow your mind? Educate me.
It's just fucking cool. I don't know, dude. This guy just in a mocap suit did the motion capture for King Ghidorah. That's just cool.
Nice.
Is that not, do you not think that's cool?
No, I do. I thought you might have been building up to something that I was unaware of.
No, I'm just excited about that credit.
That's cool.
It's just awesome. Yeah. That's it for the cast. That's basically everybody we see.
That's not a bad cast, man.
Like, it really isn't.
Considering that it's like a prospective short film that just kind of got put on the internet, from my understanding.
Yep, that's basically what happened.
That's quite the cast to get on board for that kind of thing.
So the way this thing came about is Kevin Tacharonin wanted to pitch an idea to studios to like make a new Mortal Kombat movie, right? So he got together like $7,500, called in some favors from some friends, and like over 2 months produced this thing, shot it in 2 days, you know, got it all produced and everything to present to like Warner Brothers, Midway, you know, the studios, et cetera, to be like, hey, let's make a new Mortal Kombat movie and let's do it like this. And the result of that was that the studios were kind of like, well, we like this. We don't really want to do this for a movie, but you can do a web series, right? So this is the guy who got handed the keys for Mortal Kombat Legacy.
Right.
And a lot of this cast does carry over, at least for the first season. But Corey, I want you to know very specifically, the tone doesn't really carry over. They do bring into Mortal Kombat Legacy a lot of the fantastical elements, the more traditional mythology that we're used to.
Okay.
But they do kind of still keep this sort of this gritty storytelling with it all. So don't worry. Legacy is not Hanzo Hisashi going to this underground tournament to kill like failed plastic surgeon Baraka.
Right. And you know, like on paper, I guess I don't absolutely hate that. Just to get into a little bit, it's just for me, so much of like the interest and fun of Mortal Kombat comes from the fantastic elements mm-hmm. of it and the totally. Magic and the fantasy and the weirdness. And to take all that out just makes it something else that I'm less interested in.
Yeah.
And if you're going to do that, like you can give me a gritty cop based trying to stop the underground fight ring, but just do something. Don't make it Mortal Kombat and I'm fine.
Right.
But to me, Mortal Kombat does have certain things that are fundamental to the experience of it. And I feel like the thing that's lacking here is just like, setting up Reptile as somebody who just has
like a skin and eyes deformity
was born with conditions they can't do anything about, and now that made them a murderer. Like, I don't know about that one, man.
Not cool.
No, it's that's just like a cheap way to define that, and obviously, you know, that's maybe this project showing its age a little bit, because I don't think you would do that now, but that felt kind of strange. But just more than anything, it boils itself down almost to the point of like being too generic.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think so.
I just couldn't do a lot with that personally. I do want to say though that I think, you know, the casting is good. I can see where they're going with that. I like that aspect of it quite a bit. I feel like that was a really strong thing. And also the fight that we do see is really fucking good.
The fight choreography in this was really
good.
Dude,
the fight's like really... That fight is one of the best fights we've seen, period.
It was excellent. And at the end, like when... I don't know, there's just that nice touch when... So Johnny's fighting Baraka, gets his ass kicked, and he knows he's going to die, and he just sort of like reaches over and picks up that burning cigar to have like one last puff before he gets his head cut off by Baraka.
Yeah.
There's... I don't know. That worked for me. It honestly did.
Obviously, they had to kill him off because they're going to introduce Jimmy Cage.
100%. That part works for me. The setup didn't work great for me. My first note, I didn't take a lot of notes for this because it's easy to remember, but my first note is, oh, okay, so Mortal Kombat Rebirth is just the Savage Dragon cartoon.
Fucking honestly.
It's city overrun by super freaks. Out of control crime everywhere, and they're bringing in a ringer to try to like shut down the crime, like bringing in their own super freak to shut down the other super freaks. It's Savage Dragon. It's fucking Savage Dragon. And I'm not crazy about just making Jax and Sonya cops. Like, they're just cops. They're right. Just regular old cops in this, you know, violent crimes division, whatever. Like, I get fine. Like, I get what you're going for, but I don't want to. No, fuck it. I do. I blame Christopher Nolan for this.
Honestly, this is deep in the dead of the Dark Knight. This owes the Dark 100%. Knight a lot of drinks.
It really does. And there was so much of that going on at this time.
And a little bit of Saw. It owes a little bit of Saw and a lot of Christopher Nolan.
Yeah, which, you know, when it works, it works. I don't think you need to apply that to everything, right? Like,
and that was very much, I think, the mode of the moment.
Yeah, it was.
It kind of still is, but at the time, like, it was such a revelation for some reason that you could do that. That it was like, what if we did it to everything? And I don't want to disparage like the creative team behind this too much, because like,
no,
people also just liked that before it was a trend. But yeah, for me, it just doesn't work. And I think certain things are better suited to it than others. Like, I think those,
It makes sense. It made sense for Nolan to do it for Batman, right? Because he's not like super powered, but Mortal Kombat's full of like magic and shit, you know.
Yeah,
you take
like
that away.
I look at Mortal Kombat Rebirth, and if I extrapolate out, having not seen Legacy, so like if you just run with this from here on out, how many characters do you have to leave out or alter to the point of unrecognizability just to include them? And the answer is most of them.
Yeah, or you give Sub-Zero like a freeze gun.
I will say I did pause for the freeze frame of when they show like a Sub-Zero cut in.
Yeah.
And I did not like how that looked. I know it was literally phasing in and out, and it was not meant to be paused on and scrutineered, but I did. And
I didn't focus on that. The flash I saw reminded me of what we are going to see in Legacy, so I want you to keep that in mind when we get there.
Okay, then I'll leave it for now. But yeah, it's a bit corny. It's the tone is not for me. The fight choreography was well above the bar of most things that we've watched, and also the performance of the actors in the fight itself was great. We got Baraka moving around like Blanca. I had to try to remember name of the in my notes. Oh my god,
Red Green guy from Street Fighter.
Let me see. I think that's what I said, but I'm trying to find
Beast
it.
Beast Man.
Because I was watching it. And I couldn't remember Blanca's name, so what I wrote is, dude moves like Green Street Fighter Man.
I mean, that's pretty accurate, honestly.
Yeah, and he does.
But yeah, that fight was very cool. I would say better than anything we saw in Mortal Kombat 21, for sure.
Yeah, I think my only complaint with the fights is that there was a lot of camera shake and a lot of like impact hits, and it was a bit too much for me.
Sure.
But
that's again a product of the time.
And that's also like a stylistic choice that you just like or don't like.
Sorry, little anecdote. My friend Barrett, shout out to Barrett. He might listen to this.
Jennifer Barrett, he's got guns for hands. Bet he's never heard that one before. Bam, 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 bam.
That's come up surprisingly a lot lately, but we're not going to get into that. Oh, sorry. Did you want air horns for that?
No, I got them. I did it.
You did it? Okay. I'm on the wrong page. He told me about, I think it was one of the Expendables movies. Something that Sylvester Stallone directed. And it was like a behind the scene footage of like the camera, like they're filming a shot and like the camera's close up on the action and Stallone's just like right by the camera and he just goes, shaky cam, shaky cam, shaky cam. We got it.
Dude, that's
so fucking funny.
Awesome. What I would not give in my life to hear that. Again, that's so good, dude. Shit.
I'll try to find the clip later, but
that's so funny. But
I watch movies from that era, that's all I think about whenever an action scene starts is just shaky cam, shaky cam, shaky cam. We got it.
The influence that Paul Greengrass had on us all. He had a vice grip on the culture. Not only that, but it also makes me think of that scene from whatever Liam Neeson movie it is, where it takes him like 14 cuts to jump over a fence.
Yeah.
and the camera's going all over the fucking place.
It's like above him, below him, in the sky, to the left, to the right, bottoms. Yeah, I love that. I don't think I'd ever even really seen that until you sent me the...
Dude, it's so funny. It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
This is a joke, right? Like, it wasn't a joke.
Liam Neeson really is definitely physically capable of hopping a fence, I think, still.
Yeah.
I just feel like there's no need.
They just made him hop it 17 times to get every angle.
Yeah.
I think there's a YouTube supercut of that scene just like stretched out to like 30 minutes or something.
Yeah. It's a whole thing. Yeah, I mean, it's not bad. One thing that I guess we're at least getting an interesting spin on why Scorpion wants to get involved, like the motivation being from police is kind of interesting. Sure, yeah. Like, better than the alternative, I guess, which is because obviously people have heard me complain about how Mortal Kombat is just the same thing every time. And I guess if nothing else, this isn't that. Fair play.
This is very different, for better or for worse.
Well, it's very different, but like, part of my complaint is that the plot is always the same of Mortal Kombat, and this looks like it may have been slightly guilty of that. But
sure.
In any case, you know, so, I totally get why somebody would like it.
Yeah, people loved this thing. This thing like went fucking viral. So allegedly, I say allegedly, I believe this is true. When Kevin Tacharonin uploaded this to YouTube, he accidentally made it public instead of unlisted. Because his plan was just to like
have it there so he could play
studios and stuff, right? Yeah. And then it just like fucking exploded on the internet, like IGN, like a bunch of websites picked up on it, wondering what it was, what it was about. Is it a new game? Is it a trailer? Is it a new movie, etc.? So it really got a lot of online attention. And I remember being there. I think I found this like the day it came out on like an Uproxx blog or something.
Oh, boy.
Like Film Drunk or Gamma Squad or one of those. I think Gamma Squad's gone now. Posted about it. And they were like, what the fuck is this? And then this was around the time when there was like a, like the Power Rangers, like gritty reboot.
They were talking
fan
about
trailer
it.
Thing
yeah.
made and all of that kind of stuff. It was definitely like an era of like people doing cool stuff on YouTube.
Yeah. Cause you this know? Is also even just stuff that wasn't property based, but you had, I was going to name drop a guy and I forgot his name. Shit. Well,
was it the angry video game nerd?
Yeah, James Rolfe, the angriest gamer you've ever heard. No, but there were people just making short films like this with relatively high budgets just sort of because. So
short films, fan films.
Yeah, so yeah, like the environment
and all of that kind of stuff.
The environment was poised to have something like this come out and it not be a huge surprise per se. Right. So I could see why that would happen. I wanted to name drop Freddie Wong. That's his thing.
There it is.
Got there. Got it.
He's one of the he's one of the rocket jump guys, right?
I believe so. Yeah.
Okay.
And in my head, he does that kind of work. Maybe I'm wrong, but in my head, that's what he does. I think I'm right.
Sure. It's canon now, at least on our show.
I know I can hear the listener at home freaking out saying, just do research. And to that I say, no, we won't.
We will not be unprofessional like Paul. We will not type during a podcast recording anymore.
I know what you're thinking. I can just go, Freddie Wong. And there's everything I need to know about him. And you're right. But what if?
What if we just don't fucking do that?
I don't know. He was making whole TV shows on the internet. People know who he is.
Yeah, he's Freddie fucking Wong. I think his brother's a competitive Magic the Gathering player.
I mean, Freddie Wong's Wikipedia says American filmmaker, VFX artist, podcaster, and competitive gamer. So maybe they both are.
Tight. So I remember when this came out and I watched it and I was like, okay, this is pretty cool. Like, I think I might have been kind of checked out of Mortal Kombat at that time. Like, it certainly wasn't that far off from, like, the 3D era. Would that be like, that's like, this is like pre-Mortal Kombat 9 times, maybe?
Mortal Kombat
like right
9 came out in 2011,
time?
I think.
Okay, so this is pre-Mortal Kombat 9.
That'll
so
look
I think
up,
probably,
because we need to get that stuff right, or people yell at us.
No, nobody's yelled at us yet.
People can theoretically yell at us. 2011, I was
many,
right.
Many invitations to do so. They haven't taken
yeah, credit to our listeners for not bullying us, despite the fact that we're basically egging you on at all times.
Yeah. I remember watching it and liking it and thinking this is cool, but then just sort of like not caring.
Right.
Like it didn't sink in. It wasn't the greatest thing I'd ever seen. I did not react the way that YouTube commenter reacted to it. To the point where when Mortal Kombat Legacy was announced, I wasn't particularly interested for I think a lot of the same reasons that you mentioned. Like it's an interesting idea. It's not what I think of with Mortal Kombat. I don't really want to see like I don't want to see the gritty, realistic like version of Melina, right? Like,
right.
What like it's a disfigured woman with her cheeks were cut open,
and now she hates men. And it's like, yeah. Okay, guys, please.
Like that's what I thought was going to happen, but then people were like, "Oh no! Like Mortal Kombat Legacy, it's done by the same guy, but it's unrelated to Rebirth. There's like cast that's the same, especially in season one." But like, no, it feels more like Mortal Kombat. They brought in like the Outworld and the supernatural and the magic element and that kind of stuff. So I was like, oh, okay, well, that's cool. That sounds more up my alley. And that is what we are going to start watching for this podcast. Corey, have you ever seen Mortal Kombat Legacy before? I think you've already said no in this recording.
I don't believe I have. And I'm phrasing it that way because I'm not ruling out having accidentally, like I was keeping it a secret from myself, but not having intentionally seen it, but maybe sometime several years ago coming across part of it and checking sure. it out or something. But never have I sat down and been like, today's the day I watch Mortal Kombat Legacy. And beyond that, I don't know basically anything about it.
Okay. Well, I've watched it all the way through one time.
Okay.
I watched, there's two seasons, right? This was produced online. Well, you know what I mean? I think the first season was produced by Warner Brothers and then Machinima did the second season.
Okay. Yeah.
Once like Machinima kind of took off and everything, they took the reins, created by Kevin Tacharoen. Did I get it right this time?
Sounded right.
Fucking nailed it. Hell yeah. I remembered. I wasn't even looking at my notes. And it's kind of an extension of this. I'm going to say tonally, but I don't mean like the gritty, realistic, set in the real world kind of tone. But I do sort of mean like the kind of serious, grim outlook on it all. Like, I don't think there's a single joke in the entire series.
I'll be the judge of that.
Yes, you will. But when I first watched it, I remember really liking it, but coming away from it thinking like, oh, this is not my favorite Mortal Kombat thing, but this is pretty cool. And that was in an era before like Scorpion's Revenge, Battle of the Realms, and Mortal Kombat 2021 came out. So I'm really interested to see what I'm going to think of it now, having had like three more Mortal Kombat features to watch since I watched this.
Right. I'm just curious because my preference for Mortal Kombat stuff at this point is so specifically informed by Conquest, but also rooted in
yes,
mostly the movies, which are a pretty notable departure from this. That
right.
I'm curious to see where I end up coming down on this.
I'm gonna bet that you're gonna like this.
Okay, we'll have to find out, but yeah.
I'm happy to be wrong, but I think that this strikes the balance properly between familiar Mortal Kombat stuff with ways of telling new stories in interesting ways that aren't always successful, but I think work. And some good fights, but a lot of focus on character and character motivation, if I'm remembering correctly. Like, I think you're going to be kind of into this. I don't think you're going to be into this in the way that, like, we're both into Conquest, which is just a lot of fucking fun.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But this web series, there's two seasons. They are very well made. They feel like Mortal Kombat, but they don't feel like a repeat of everything we've already seen either.
Okay. Yeah. That'll go a long way.
Yeah. So I think it's going to work for you. I think this is going to work for you. So the way that this show works is there's two seasons. There was a proposed, I'm going to call it a third season. It was more of a Mortal Kombat 10 inspired web series that shared casting and I think continuity with these other ones that we've seen that entered production but didn't get finished, didn't get made. So unfortunately, we have two seasons and we do end on a cliffhanger, which kind of is Mortal Kombat series like tradition.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I can live with that.
Okay, good. The first season is really kind of a series of like character vignettes, just sort of setting up who everybody is in this world.
Already a good idea.
And what their motivations are. And then the second season kind of starts getting into the beginning of like a Mortal Kombat tournament. There's still more like character setup and stuff like that that happens. And like, sadly, it does end on a cliffhanger, but I think that what we get is actually pretty good. And a lot of season one works really well in a vacuum because you kind of get like this series of self-contained stories, you know?
Yeah.
So the way I think that we need to approach this, at least for season one, is we got to kind of have to batch some of these together because you get a series of two-parters and you get a series of like single-parters, like standalones, right? One shots. So I'm going to pitch to you this watch order, and it is, it does just look like the watch order on HBO Max, for instance. I think when we do Legacy Season 1, we're going to do that over 3 episodes, okay?
Okay.
We're going to watch the first 3 episodes of that, which are Jax, Sonya, and Kano Parts 1 and 2, and then the Johnny Cage standalone episode.
How long are these?
They're like 10 to 12 minutes each.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah, they're not very long.
Oh.
It's a web series. There were still like, I think, probably file size upload limits for YouTube at this time.
Right.
Then we're going to watch the Kitana and Melina Part 1 and 2 and the Raiden one shot. And then finally, we'll watch the Scorpion and Sub-Zero Part 1 and 2 and the Cyrax and Sector one shot. And that'll be it for season one. Season two, I think we'll just go two at a time because season two is a little bit more serialized.
Sure.
So that's going to be the watch order for everybody listening for Legacy Season 1. And you can watch this fucking thing pretty much anywhere. You can get it on Blu-ray. You can watch it on YouTube. Season 1 is for sure free on YouTube. And I think Season 2 has been put there by people for free on YouTube. It's all on HBO Max. And you can get it all on Steam of all places, at least here in North America. You can just download every episode on Steam. Did you even know you could get videos on Steam?
I only found out because you told me this. Otherwise, I never would have guessed that.
Yeah, it's kind of wild. And they were just free there. Like, you just get them.
Yeah.
Like, just go there and get them. If you haven't watched Legacy, that's probably the best way to do it, in my opinion. But after we get through Legacy Season 1 and 2, I think that we should go ahead and just do an episode watching the leaked footage from the Mortal Kombat 10 web series and just kind of giving general impressions just to put a bow on the whole thing. How does that sound?
Yeah, it works for me.
All right. Well, now we got a plan. I think, I don't know, you got any more thoughts about Legacy, what your expectations might be for the show?
Honestly, no. And I think I'm kind of going into that not with no expectations to mean that anything will be good, but because I'm open to being surprised.
Okay.
So I'm just sort of curious to see where we end up going from here, but no, nothing big. No, not really.
Yeah. I think it'll be good to get back to some live action martial arts stuff after how many weeks of watching cartoons at this point?
A lot of them.
a whole lot of them. 2 movies worth and then an entire cartoon series worth plus spinoffs.
It's probably been, what, 3 months?
Something like that. Yeah. It's been a while. It's been a while.
Since I saw cartoons.
I'm pretty excited to revisit Legacy. I'm pretty excited to get back to some live action Mortal Kombat shit. I'm really interested in what you end up thinking. If you like, I want this.
No pressure.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just interested. There is no pressure. However you feel is how you feel. But I predict you're going to like this. You're certainly going to like this more than Mortal Kombat 21. I think the general consensus is that people like this more than the new live action movie.
That's all I need, really.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all we need. All of us Mortal Kombat fans. It's been a rough year for Mortal Kombat movies. We got two of them.
It's been a rough year for Mortal Kombat movies.
Both of them were kind of meh. Very good.
Thank you. I'll be here all week.
But I think we should close up shop. I think we got a little bit of business to talk about ahead of time, don't we?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we do. We sure do.
Paul is really monopolizing this podcast episode.
He is.
A lot of Paul content in here. Shout out to Paul.
So, in case anybody forgot, I'm going to remind you about the television program Fast and Furious Spy Racers, which stars not only Tony Toretto, but Tony Toretto's legendary cousin, Dom. And it's been brought to our...
Tony Toretto's legendary cousin, Dom.
Sorry for stepping all over that. Not intentional. It's been brought to my attention...
Tony Toretto's legendary cousin, Dom.
I can't hear when you play things, so I keep talking over them, and I'm sorry. God damn it!
I'm leaving all that in.
I got to figure out a way that I can hear those. But... 2 days ago, well, not 2 days ago from the time of recording.
Potentially.
A video game has been released called Fast and Furious Spy Racers Rise of Shifter. Shifter is spelled S-H-1-F-T-3-R because it's cool as fuck. And Paul made a good point, and he said, we should play this video game. And I'm like, you know what? Yeah, you're right. And then I had a good idea, which was... You know, Fast and Furious, much like Mortal Kombat, is about one real particular thing. Fast and Furious is all about family. And do you know what else is about family, Neil? That's right, Christmas. So, what we're going to ask of you is, if you go to our Ko-fi page, which you'll hear about later, we have set a goal. That goal would facilitate the purchase of... 2 copies of Fast and Furious Spy Racers Rise of Shifter, which we would then use to race each other in a head-to-head live stream Christmas special extravaganza featuring none other than Tony Toretto and likely his legendary cousin Dom in some capacity or another.
Hell yeah.
And I think that just sounds like an absolute delight.
ko-fi.com/mkpodquest. Let's make this goal happen. 100%, we've done the math. After fees and money transferring fees, 100% of the proceeds of this will go to securing 2 copies of Fast
no
and
more,
Furious
no less.
Spy Racers.
We spend your money wisely. Also, I want to take this opportunity to say thank you to everybody who has given us money in the past for equally silly things.
Absolutely.
Regardless of how this pans out, because I still can't believe it, and... It's a level of generosity that I borderline cannot fathom. So
it's incredibly sweet.
Thank you.
You wouldn't think a bunch of Mortal Kombat fans would be so nice.
And with all this disposable income, we must be doing pretty okay.
Must be doing all right. So yeah.
Yeah, thanks.
That's it.
And maybe help. If you feel like it, you do it again.
Please help us fund this goal. We want to do this. We want to do this as a Christmas special.
We got plenty of time. No pressure. You don't have to do it right this second, you know?
Yeah. But we'll remind you next week, ko-fi.com/mkpodquest. And while we're on the subject, we've got ourselves a fancy new website, don't we, Corey?
Yeah, we do. I would love to take credit for it, but I simply cannot. This has been Neil's doing. But if you go to mkpodquest.com, it's got literally everything you could want. It has episodes. It has YouTube episodes. It has the Ko-fi page. It has socials. And... It has a store.
Yo, that's right. Shit. You can find a link to our store on mkpodcast.com.
You can buy merch before we even buy it. Who knows if it's good?
Buy yourself a t-shirt with the MK PodQuest logo, maybe some stickers. Who knows? Whatever you want. We're going to add some more designs to that, too. We honestly put that together just for us.
We put that together because we wanted merch. And also, we wanted to see if it would let us, because in a previous iteration, we got copyright flagged. But I guess it's there if somebody wants that. Like, I don't know.
It's there. I made an order, Corey. Did I tell you?
No. That's why I said you could buy it before we did.
I made an order. We'll see. We'll see what the quality is like. But
yeah, you know, listeners, hold that thought. There is a merch store. We'll get back to you, because we cannot guarantee anything right now.
Yes. Now, at mkpodquest.com, you can also, right there on the homepage, there's a little microphone button pops up in the corner. You can leave voice messages there directly for us. And then of course, we're going to play them on the show. We got voicemail built into this website, dude. It's pretty rad.
That's our deal for you.
You can find our support links at ko-fi.com/mkpodquest or Anchor support link there. You can find links to all the podcast platforms to subscribe. All of our YouTube videos are listed there, plus links to our YouTube site so you can subscribe and get us to 100 followers finally. And we got a new email address. Are you ready for this? If you want to send us something, you can send it to theboys@mkpodquest.com.
You do have to type in the air horns. It's a bit of a pain, but
it kind of is, but you know, the old email address still works too if you're used to using that, but theboys@mkpodquest.com is just too much fun. I had to capitalize.
We're almost a real show now.
We're a very real show, man. And man, boy, this costs some money. I'm not going to lie. Costs some money to put all that together, but there it is.
And if you want to encourage a 14th Fast and Furious movie by way of profits from the video game of the cartoon, you know where to go.
That's right.
And thanks to everybody for listening. Thanks to everybody for showing enough interest that we're able to set these things up in the first place. It's wild to me week in, week out that we're in this position. So
yes, it's very cool. Thank you to everybody. I think we should get out of here though, man. Yeah. I think we got to go find this. We got to go find this underground. You know what? We got to go get these heads out of this refrigerator.
Truly. It smells horrible.
I got this appointment with this plastic surgeon who's going to he's going to help out my face a little bit because it needs it. His name is Dr. Alan Zane. Have you heard of him?
Yeah, he's got great reviews on Rate My Prof.
He comes highly recommended. So I gotta make my appointment.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
So what do you have to plug, Corey?
If you want to hear me continue to talk, you can listen to They Made Another One, which is another podcast that I do with my friends Liam and Mitch. We just put up some promotional videos, I suppose, on our Twitter account. If you'd like to see those,
they're very good.
Or if you just wondered what we looked like, it's there. And
well, 2 out of 3.
Yeah, someday kick him everything all at once, Neil, come on. That's They Made Another on Twitter, or They Made Another One on all your podcast services. Our most recent episode, when this comes out, should be about the movie Beyond Skyline. So if you want to check that out, that's where you can see that. And then I'm on Twitter at Mr. Corey Price.
And you can find me on Twitter at Final Neil. Find me on Instagram, my retro gaming Instagram account at Final Neil Retro. Follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at MK PodQuest. Subscribe in your podcast app. Rate us and review us 5 stars. Look us up on Good Pods. It's a fun time over there. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Send us voice messages on our Anchor page or our website. You can find links to all of these things on our website at mkpodquest.com. Got to find a way to seamlessly slide that in to the outro.
Yeah, we'll get there.
And if you like what we do and want to support us, ko-fi.com/mkpodquest. Help us buy copies of Spy Racers and race each other for the holidays. Thank you all for listening. Thank you all for your support and encouragement. No one is encouraging us to do this.
I don't think that's true. I think people are absolutely encouraging us to do this.
But thank you.
I think you know who you are. on the encouragement front, namely, I guess you're Paul, and
mostly seems like it's mostly Paul these days.
But yeah, no, thank you to everybody. That's something that blows my mind every time. So, you know, I'll try to remember to say it a little more frequently.
We will be back next week, I think, probably to start talking about Mortal Kombat Legacy. So look that up on YouTube, Steam, HBO Max, wherever you get that stuff. Jack, Sonya, and Kano Part 1 and 2, and Johnny Cage. That's what we'll be talking about. Let's get out of here. I really gotta go see this doctor.
All right, let's. In the immortal words of Mario, it's a me, Mario. Just kidding. Let's go.